Welcome to Croxley Green Baptist Church Sermon Podcast.
Good morning. This is my final weekend off before the summer months. Not that I've had many weekends off, but this is my one and only weekend before the summer months kick off. And then we're at various different things across the summer. I noticed on the PowerPoint earlier about Urban Saints, you got the books at the back. I'm going to be at the Chatterbox one, the 8 to 11s one, down in Swanage somewhere. I should really learn where it is before I go. Where they sleep in tents on a National Trust ground and they shower in a shed. So I really recommend it. I did it last year. It is great fun. So before we start, just need to say that various different places where you look and read, they tell you that the fish that Jonah was eaten by was not a whale. They don't know if it was a whale, they just think it was a big fish. But me and my dyslexic mind, I keep changing things up. So if I say whale or big fish, get over it, you'll be fine. We don't need to be that theologically correct. Sorry, Dave. So let me just briefly summarise the book of Jonah for you, because this prayer comes in part two of four parts. It's a really easy book to read. It's only two pages. We could read it now, and then it takes up a lot of my time, and then I talk for less, and I haven't set my timer, so I don't even know. So it's all going to run over time. And I've got the Mead Lido to go to this afternoon for a swim. So God said to Jonah, "Let's go here." But Jonah said, "No." God said, "Come on." So Jonah went in the opposite way. And now the thing is, I was going to have a map and I was going to do all of that, but I figured PowerPoint's boring. So the map, so you've got like Europe, and then you've got a big bit of sea, and he was here, and he needed to go to there, which was all land-based. So he thought, no, I'm going to go over there and get a boat. So then he gets a boat to the opposite side of the Mediterranean Sea, bottom of Spain, near Europe. And then it all starts to get rocky, the seas start getting hangry, the sailors are like, what's going on? Jonah says, chuck me in the sea, and everything will be all right. So the sailors go, all right then, so chuck him over. And then this is where God's humour comes into play. He gets a big fish or a whale and swallows Jonah up. Jonah then spends some time in the whale. He then prays, he remembers God, he prays. Jesus, God's humour then shines again and chunders the whale, gets the whale to be sick, and Jonah comes out and he lands up on the sea. He then goes to where he's got to go. He then preaches. And in the very final chapter of Jonah, chapter 4, Jonah gets angry at God because God's compassionate. So Jonah gets angry at the fact that God's compassionate, and this compassionate God just released him from a whale and kept him alive. Jonah gets angry at that. But Jonah 2, and this is a prayer of thanksgiving. It's the prayer of thanksgiving from Jonah to God. Now, in Matthew, it says this. It says, because just as Jonah was in the stomach of the sea creature for 3 days and three nights, so will Jesus be in the middle of the earth. So we know that Jonah spent 3 days in a whale. Many years ago, when I was at Caterham College, one of the many, many different things that I've tried in my life, we went on a trip, and we went to France. And for some reason, a catering trip, you were allowed to go to Disneyland Paris for a week, because that's where great catering skills happen, at Disneyland Paris. To be honest with you, after a heavy night, we got woken up at 5 o'clock the next morning to go to this market in the centre of Paris. It's like the be-all and end-all when it comes to markets for catering, for the catering world. Chefs get all their stuff from there. It's a big, fancy market. And we're going through it, and then all of a sudden, we get taken to the fish hall. Now, at 6 o'clock in the morning, when you're a little bit worse for wear, being in a fish market, it's not the most pleasant of smells. And I don't think for Jonah, being in a whale for 3 days was the most pleasant of smells. So in verse 1, it says, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the deep of the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. In some versions that you read of Jonah, they don't use the line realm of the deep. They use the Hebrew word Sheol, S-H-E-O-L, which is essentially Hebrew for hell. So it took Jonah 3 days to gather all of his thoughts, to say this prayer, to realize that he was in hell for 3 days to cry out to the Lord. Because if we really, really think about it, for someone to think that they're in hell and down in the deep and down in a whale, you think you're going to die. Because it's not every day that somebody gets swallowed by a fish and then gets vomed back up 3 days later and they live to tell the tale. And then a little bit further on in verse 4, he said, I've been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threaten me, the deep surrounds me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head, to the roots of the mountains I sank down. On earth beneath barred me in forever. Jonah again, woe is me, oh I'm in hell, help me Lord. I'm in hell. He doesn't even say help me yet. He just keeps moaning where he is. And then it changes. It changes from verse 6 to 7. It says, but you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit where my life was ebbing away. I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. So we're just at the end of this point where Jonah thinks that all is lost and that there is nothing. And soon he's going to die and that will be the end of it. But then all of a sudden, there's a light bulb moment. Something in his head flips, and he cries out. Something in his head flips, and he cries out, and he remembers the Lord. Now, my mum and dad will vouch for me for this, is that over the years, and even to this day, I lose a lot of things. And there have been many, many times where, growing up as a family, we have turned the house upside down, trying to find that special certificate that I needed for my moped, or a set of keys, or a birth certificate, or something. There's been something lost. And even to this day, at the age of 28, things like that still happen. And the most recent time was about a month and a half ago. I was at church, it was Wednesday evening, our kids group was about to start. We had 60 kids coming in, and we needed the cash tin out of this locker. Now, this locker, I've had a lot of issues with this locker. We at one point, we had two locks on it. I had a key to both, and I was the only person that did. And no one else had the second key to the second padlock. So what did I do? I didn't even lose it. I locked it in that locker. So that, at which point, I had to go to the DIY shop and get a hacksaw and break into this locker. I felt very manly with my DIY skills there. It's not extended anywhere else, but it's good. But at this point, I'd lost my keys. So the keys had the key to the locker, it had my church keys on, it had my whole set of keys on. And you know when you lose your keys, you sometimes get a little bit worried because it's got a lot of your life on. So now, because of that purpose, I have three sets of keys. I have my car keys, because I can drive now. I still haven't gone over that. A light flashed in my car a couple of days ago. Ain't got a clue what that is. So I need to sort that out when I get home. Well, that's going to be awkward. So I've got a set of my car keys. I've got a set of my church keys. And I've got a set of my house keys. And I brought this wonderful little device. It's called a tile. Okay? And what the tile does, you attach it to your keys. And then it connects to an app on your phone. And via Bluetooth, they all connect. And they can tell you if your keys are in this Bluetoothed area that you're in. So I figured, I'm at church, I know I've got the keys at church, I just don't know where the keys are. I've got 2% left on my battery, on my phone, and so if that runs out, we're really quite in the stick. I've got to get the cash tin out, because the kids have got to pay to come into the group. I've got this lady who, by the way, who's been running this kid group for 35 years, and she's retired, and her and her husband are retiring in a few weeks. She's there. We've started to slightly change things, so instead of using a little pot, we use a cash tin. And I'm not helping out this situation by not having the key to the cash tin. Both my colleagues are away that night, so it is literally just me. So I'm walking around, I've got my phone, and on the phone, you've got like a little tracker, and so it tells you how many bars there are you are away. And so I'm walking around the church, and I have looked everywhere. I'm walking around the church, it even plays a little tune. So if I double press this now, it makes that noise. No, it's not going to work today, is it? Come on. It's not. So if I've lost my phone, I can go to that and it makes a lovely little jingle. So in the end, so what did I do? I go to the app, I go to the keys, and I press the button, home keys done. That's going to start making a noise. So it makes that noise. And I'm walking around this whole building and I can't hear this noise. Now I'm already paranoid about my hearing because I think I'm half deaf and can't hear anyone at the best of times. And I'm in the dead silence. I get all of the kids to stop making any noise because so we could hear this noise. Do you want to know where I found it? It was in my pocket. And the reason why the little bars were at full the whole time is because wherever I walked, it was in my pocket. So of course it's going to be on me the whole time, and I couldn't hear the noise. And there is this relief. I mean, I've got a theology degree. I still can't find my keys in my pocket. But that's the thing, as soon as I found the keys, as soon as I pulled my keys out of my pocket, called myself a lot of names, and said, right, let's go get this cash tin, there was that relief. I think that's what it felt like for Jonah. That moment when he's stuck in hell, when he thinks that he's hidden, when he thinks that there's nowhere. This floorboard is very squeaky, and the last time I stepped on a floorboard here, I fell through it. So I need to be careful. Good old holiday adventure. But there is this relief in him. And he goes, I remember you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. All of a sudden, from the depths of Sheol, my prayers rose to you. From here onwards, things look different. In that moment when he calls out to God, he remembers God. He's forgotten. He realized that he's done things wrong. He realizes that he used his human attributes to try to get out of all of these situations. He thought that going to another area where God didn't want him to go was a better option. And after all of that, he chose to trust in God and worship God. And he was so certain that God was going to do something that he promised things. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. He becomes so sure that he's going to get deliverance from the big fish that he starts making promises of what he'll do when he gets out. And this is where the irony happens. As soon as he prayed, and it was one of those moments where I had with my keys, I should have just looked in my pockets in my first place, though I thought I did. God commands the whale to vom, and Jonah comes out. But what does this story of a man being swallowed have to do with us today? What has this great prayer got to do with us today? And there's a few things that we can take out of this. I haven't done the usual Baptist three, I've stuck with two. Number one is how important prayer is. This year at Risenbrook, we're doing a year of prayer. So we're doing, all of our Sunday services are based around prayer. And as great it is, and I know I'm being recorded, as great it is, sometimes the youth activities do get a little bit repetitive. I thought, this is a great idea. I go and write it, and I've already written it. But it is great. But here's the thing. Prayer is so important that we should go to prayer in any situation. Because as humans, we can do a Jonah. We can do a Jonah and we can forget God. We can forget God in situations. We can turn to human instincts to help us. We can turn to various other things. We can turn to social media. When life's getting us down, let's stick a happy picture on Instagram and get all the likes. That will cheer us up. Growing up, when life got a little bit tough, I turned to food. I went to the fridge. When I should have gone to prayer. But the thing is, when it comes to God, there's sometimes there's this fear that we can have when turning to God, when going to God in prayer. And we forget that God is always accessible. At Spring Harvest this year, they looked at prayer. They looked at Prayer Unlimited, and they did various different things. And one of them was unlimited access. And there is this great moment, and we looked at Esther. And we looked at that moment where Esther stepped into the throne room for the first time to face the king. And that sometimes actually we can feel like Esther when it comes to facing God. That God is a king, God is on a throne, but actually we can approach that throne at any point, at any time, with any reason. I was watching on the train coming home yesterday, Virgin Trains, great set of trains. I was watching The Greatest Showman on my phone, and there's a great scene in it where, I'm guessing we've all seen The Greatest Showman by now. No? Lisa, you've not seen The Greatest Showman? You're like the Von Trapp family. I thought you would have loved it with all the singing. So there's this, I'm going to spoil it for you now, Lisa, I'm sorry, but just watch it. There is a scene in The Greatest Showman where they get invited over, I don't know how realistic this is. It's meant to be based on a true story-ish. But they somehow get an invite in America to have an audience with the Queen. Victoria, our queen, in London. So then they come over and they're in Buckingham Palace and there's this great scene and they're walking through the corridors of Buckingham Palace and they're all a little bit scared. And then they approach the queen. They're like, why aren't we in tails? Because two of them were wearing the top hat and tails as you got to when you see the queen. You know, it's standard. And they were all in their costumes and stuff because they're all circus people, because Great Showman's about circus. And there's a really little man, and so he's dressed up as Admiral Nelson. Yeah, he's dressed up as Nelson, and it's all a little bit surreal, but it's a great film. And so he's walking up to the Queen, and they're all scared, and they've got this moment, and all of a sudden the Queen says something, and then she says a comment to the little guy, and then the little guy's a little bit rude back. And all of a sudden there's just a pause where he says that line, and then everyone bursts out laughing, and then everyone's absolutely fine. That is what it can feel like with God sometimes. That actually, when we want to approach God, we get scared and we get nervous and we worry. Because even though we know that God loves us, even though we know it up here, sometimes, even for the old Christian that's been a Christian for decades, we may forget what it feels like in here. And we can forget what it feels like in our heart to know that God loves us. The other thing that we can get from this is to actually to run to God. Because as humans, we can be hard-headed and we can be hard-hearted. And instead of running to God, we can run to everything else. Because we think that we can deal with it ourselves. and we forget to pray. And we just think, God's looking, he'll get it sorted, it's fine. But that step from knowing that something's wrong, knowing that you're in too deep, knowing that you're in your shell, in your hell, taking that actual step to God and taking it to him in prayer creates the change. Because that first step, and the age-old saying, first step's always the hardest. But actually taking that first step to God and handing over your situation to him in prayer can change your heart and can change your head. In Matthew 5, in the message, and often in the message, they use this phrase quite a lot. It goes, you are blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule. That's where Jonah was in the whale. He was at the end of his rope. He was at the end of his tether. And then he had that light bulb moment. And he said, I remembered God. And I prayed. So he remembered God and he prayed. And I know, if the band can come and tinkle and do what you do on the piano, that'd be great. We're going to do something a bit unusual now. I don't know how often you do this. Honestly, growing up here, we didn't do this often growing up and stuff. So we're just going to try it now. We're just going to go into a time of response, a time of prayer. But there's going to be, like I was just saying, that Jonah realised that he was stuck, realised he was in that how. He took that step to say, I remembered God, I need your help, help me. And God honoured that, because that's the thing, when we pray, God honours our prayers. We're not just talking to nothingness, we're not just talking to air, we're talking to God, we're talking to the powerful God, we're talking to our Father, we're talking to the person that loves us. We're talking to the person that knows every single hair on your head. We're talking to the Father that knew us in the womb before we were even imagined. And actually, God knows we're in these situations. And God knows that sometimes it's hitting the fan for us. And God gets that. But we need to take that step. We need to take that step and say, God, help. Because no matter where you've been, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you've watched on the telly, no matter what you've said, well, no matter what you've done, you can run to God and God will be there with arms open wide and he will catch you and he will fling you around on his shoulders like a parent does with a child. God loves you. And I don't know how many of you really know that, and I don't know if many of you need to see that right now, but God knows you, God loves you, and God's for you. And in whatever situation you guys are facing now, I'm going to say it again, God loves you, God knows you, God's for you, God's with you. So I just want everyone to shut their eyes. This is a moment between you and God now. This is a moment where if whatever's going to happen next, I encourage you, grab Lisa, grab Dave, grab one of the deacons. Get them to pray with you. They don't need to know what's happening. They can just pray with you. But if there is now, if you're in this situation, whatever it is, something big, something small, whatever it is, if you're in that situation and you need to take that step to God and you need to say, God, help me. I'm here, I've remembered you now, I'm sorry, but I love you, help me. I just want you to have that moment in your head now. And for some of you, what might help is standing up, putting up a hand, doing that movement. Because when an alcoholic goes to AA, they say, "Hi, I'm blah, 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 and I'm an alcoholic." And that means that they're owning that fact and they want to move on from that fact. So you need to own the fact that you're in this situation. You need to say that I am in this situation, but you need to say, "God, help me." So if that is you, take that step now, stand up. If you want prayer, we can get Lisa or Dave or someone to come and pray with you. Like I said, they don't need to know. God, we love you. God, this is a real prayer that Jonah prayed. And it is a great prayer. Confusing, but great. Lord, whatever situation we're in now, Lord, whatever situation we've been in, or whatever situation we might be in soon, I just pray that we pray. That we enter that throne room and we come and sit with you. We come and sit by your right hand and we tell you our situations. We tell you our prayers. You love us, you're for us, and you're with us.